This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I won't go there. That's a long time away.
So you're not. But you're not discounting.
I certainly didn't. I didn't support the president in the last election, and but it's early. Well, that time will take care of itself. I'm still standing. No, so there are other things in life than politics, and I can tell you when I would be broken is if I were to say that the path to re-election is to embrace the president's policies that I disagree with and condone his behavior, which nobody should condone.
All right, so that's Senator Jeff Flake. He says, adios. I'm not going to play this game any longer. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So a blistering speech that rambled on for 20 minutes, frankly, on the floor of the Senate. What did he have to say about that? He said, I rise today to address a matter that's been on my mind. When it seems our democracy is more defined by our discord and our dysfunction than it is by our values and our principles. And he went on like about regret and the differences, and that we must never regard as normal the regular and casual undermining of our democratic norms and ideas. So Flake said that's it for him. Reckless outrage, undignified behavior, excuses, etc. He says it's, you know, what are our children watching? Where is the excellence? It is gone. It has been taken out of this society. And he decided that he's taking a break. So he said, I thank my colleagues for indulging me today. I will close by borrowing the words of President Lincoln, who knew more about healing and preserving our founding values than any other American who ever lived. The words from his first inaugural, he said, were a prayer in his time and are no less so in ours. And what Lincoln said was, and it is a famous part of that inauguration, we are not enemies but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passions may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. And then he said, thank you, Mr. President. I yield the floor. So that was big. He said, that was it. We can no longer do this. We can't do this any longer. And there's a lot of reaction to Flake bailing by the way he did, by what he said. And it's the same thing that pretty much that we've seen since the beginning of the turnover from the Obama administration. So it's much of kind of the same deal. We are constantly in a WWE world with politics thrown into the middle of this. And the White House said this about Corker and Flake, that it's probably the right decision. The decision to not run for re-election is probably a smart one. So Flake announced his stepping aside in January of 2019, and it came a month after Senator Corker said the same thing. They said their disagreements with the president and how he conducts himself is one reason why they're going to leave Washington. And, of course, it's been a wild feud with Corker for the last couple of weeks. And maybe now there's a reprieve in that, and the name is Senator Flake. So maybe there's a little bit of a reprieve there. Who knows? I don't know. I just know that they're both gone. And here's the thing. You're talking about two Republicans, so now seat replacements, that could really change the face of the Senate, depending on who jumps in there, you know, who gets elected in there, which is a big deal. And will anyone else bail? Who knows? We have no signs of that, and I can't read the tea leaves, so I doubt it. The people I know on the Hill have not indicated anything like that is going to happen. But again, who knows? Here's another bombshell that was dropped on D.C. today. The Washington Post did a story about the Clinton campaign and the DNC paying for the Trump dossier. So they're saying that an unknown Republican donor first contracted Fusion GPS to do research on Trump during the Republican primaries, but they stopped paying. And that's when the lawyer who represented the Clinton campaign and the DNC stepped in with his law firm so that they could look into Trump's background. But they turned to looking at Trump's Russian ties when they were looking at something, when they determined that they were looking at something different. Now, Fusion GPS founders refused to give testimony to the House Intelligence Committee on it, though the founder previously had talked to the Senate Judiciary Committee. So they weren't doing it. And it's just kind of more of turning over the same thing. The FBI director, the then FBI director, James Comey, presented the President Trump with a two-page summary of the findings in January of 2017. Trump demanded in a tweet that information on who paid for the dossier be released, and it has been a flaming hot taco. I mean, seriously, it is a hot topic in Washington since it came out, because Democratic critics are alleging collusion between members of Trump's campaign staff and the Russian government. Trump is denying those kind of ties. So one can only imagine where this goes. I mean, only imagine. Speaking of going, he's not going anywhere fast on a football team in the NFL, but Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback who started the national anthem protests last year, signed a $1 million book deal with Random House. He got nationwide attention when he didn't stand during the national anthem at football games in protest of the treatment of minorities. He was with the 49ers, we know the story now, but became a free agent after the season, and he hasn't been signed by another team. Some people are saying he's being blackballed. Some say there's no proof of that. Regardless, this thing has exploded into something completely different. So the book deal about what it's, I'm sure a lot of it will deal with what it's like to be in that situation, and that's why they were willing to pay for it and give him that kind of an advance, knowing that there was probably something, you know, there, let's put it that way. So might be an interesting read. He'll find an audience, definitely, that will listen to him, that's for sure. I know he will. All right, let's move on to, quickly, what we're going to talk about next. And what we're going to talk about next here on America Tonight is odds and ends. So when I say odds and ends, poking around in the stories that maybe should get some attention that are not getting any attention for whatever reason. And by the way, Google has a new method of teaching its artificial intelligence. That's part of ONE coming up after I jump the fence here on America Tonight.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
It was hot, you know, warming up, but, you know, once the game started, sun went down, it didn't feel that hot. You know, I think, not much of a breeze, but, I don't think it had much of an impact.
All right. That's Clayton Kershaw as we continue down the road here of odds and ends on America Tonight. The Dodgers in the World Series beat the Astros. He's talking about the weather, 103 first pitch. He should know he was the pitcher. 3-1 victory for the Dodgers, and the fans were going crazy. Here's what I find interesting. Remember Mary Hart? She used to do Entertainment Tonight forever. And she's got connections, because you see her every pitch. She's right there behind home plate. And my husband said to me, you know, I think that's Larry King sitting next to her. So we played this game of, is that Larry King? And sure enough, it was Larry King sitting next to her. So obviously, they still both have connections. Clayton Kershaw pitches 7 innings strong, 11 strikeouts. It was a very good game for Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers, so they win the first one, as it were. We'll see what happens further down the line. Meaning, you got game 2, that's also in L.A., and then they switch by the weekend to Houston, and it could be a little bit of that back and forth. Could be, I say. Because you never know in a World Series. It seemed like the Houston Astros had some momentum, and that game was close. So we may see a close World Series for those of you who care about such things. Otherwise, let's jump to something else, because this is odds and ends after all. So odds and ends includes, some interesting stories, meaning there is definitely blood in the water, as we know, in Washington. So Flake bailing, I talked about that already at the top. That's a huge story. But when we get away from Washington, what do people care about? You know, what do they care about? Well, they care about their jobs, and they care about what's going on with places like Google threatening, not threatening, Google just flat out saying that they're looking at artificial intelligence of the future and what can they do and how do they train the artificial intelligence. And apparently, artificial intelligence at Google is watching movies. So that's how they're training them to understand human actions with movie clips, because it's the eye movement, part of the eye movement thing, I guess, by using the movie clips. Here's my question. They didn't give a lot of information on how they were doing this, but I wonder how many movies and how do you pick the movies? That would be kind of interesting, right? What is it that Google does to pick the movies that they're training this artificial intelligence on? And that's the paranoia of a lot of people, that the paranoia is that we'll be all replaced by robots. So in a lot of these jobs that people have, they won't be able to find work anymore because they're replaced by robots instead. Remember, there was that movie that talked about that. I want to say it was called iRobot, right? A futuristic movie. All right, here's a mind blower for you. Albert Einstein. A note that Albert Einstein gave to a courier in Tokyo briefly describing his theory on happy living. Sold at auction in Jerusalem. Ready for this? How much do you think someone would pay for it? If you were thinking $1.56 million, you'd be right. So the winning bid for the note exceeded the pre-auction estimate. You know what the pre-auction estimate was? This is mind-blowing. So when they say pre-auction estimate, they think that's what someone will pay. You know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And you know what? This is from 1922. So somewhere in that neighborhood was nowhere near that neighborhood. It was in a way better neighborhood. That'd be €1.33 million. €1.56 million. Wow. I mean, wow, that's all I can say. That's a wow. It was going to get 8,000. It got more than that. I mean, that's an all-time record. I guess the buyer was a European who wanted to be unanimous. Unanimous. He wanted to be unanimous. He wanted to be anonymous. And maybe he wanted some others to join in. I don't know. Isn't that crazy? The bidding started at 2,000, and then it was just bid up in like minutes. Minutes! That is crazy. There was a second Einstein note written at the same time that said, "When there's a will, there's a way." That sold for $240,000. Wow. 1922. I mean, I guess Einstein is Einstein. So a note of Einstein's, what's it worth? What's it worth to you, I suppose, right? It's interesting because you look at Einstein's background. And if we go back to earlier this year, in June, letters written by Einstein about God, Israel, and physics sold for $210,000 at Jerusalem auction. There's interest, I suppose. I guess that's the thing. That's pretty crazy, I have to say. I saw that it was up, and I was not thinking, yeah, I was going to get that much money. I guess, you know, don't mess around. This is what I want, and I'm going to buy it. And this person must have a ton of money if they can afford to dump that kind of money into it. So, boy, crazy. Like I said, I guess so. All right, speaking of crazy, Halloween is a big deal to a lot of people. And I was looking at this list of iconic settings from Hollywood horror classics that are part of the real world, where you can actually go and see them. So the abandoned house from It is in Toronto. Yeah. And people I've taken pictures of it, walking by it. Is this the It House? Oh, heck yeah. This is where I live. The Conjuring is a Rhode Island house. It's crazy. And the Bates Motel and Psycho House, Universal City, California. So there it's a little bit different. If you look at what the outside of it looked like, etc., and you think you recognize it, you definitely will recognize it because it's part of the Universal tour. I took it. It is freaky though. But a lot of them are houses. Like, they're on people's streets. And I'm thinking, in Halloween, the original one John Carpenter shot in the late 70s had hardly any budget. So he shot mostly in South Pasadena. And the Myers family house is on Meridian Avenue. Yeah. And it's in a historic area, and people recognize it. So sometimes they'll go by and take pictures. I love it. Cheap locations. So if we go to the crew, and that would be Andy. Andy, you are big on Halloween, aren't you? What are you dressing up as this year?
Dr. Zoidberg from Futurama.
Wow. So you knew that right away? That's good.
My sister wanted me to dress up as Stuart from Mad TV.
Oh, I like the Stuart one, too. That's a tough decision. Wow. All right, so Halloween's a big deal to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to New Orleans to visit my sister for Halloween.
New Orleans. And New Orleans is a cool place to be on Halloween. That's where Anne Rice is from, you know, the whole vampire deal, right?
I don't know.
All right, so there's interviews with a vampire, books she wrote that were kind of, well, I guess they were scary. They're scary books, yeah. You have to read them. I'll have to mail you one of those books. I'll have to edumacate you on Anne Rice, who lives in New Orleans, is very, very famous writer, and she's known for, I don't know, not necessarily horror, but kind of, I guess, vampires. She's known for vampires. So if you think that's scary, then you would think her stuff is, I guess, scary.
There's a couple scary things in New Orleans, but for the most part, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I've spent time in New Orleans. I like it. In fact, we did do the show from New Orleans once. I can remember that, yeah. All right, as we wind down here for this segment, coming up in our next segment, Anna Liada joins us. She is an expert on generations. It's just the beginning of a conversation with her because we got two parts with Anna. There was so much that we wanted to talk to her about. Can you imagine being from a super, super big family? Wait till you hear about hers. Stay with us, everybody.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really thrilled about our next guest coming up. Anna Liotta is with us. She's in our virtual green room, as it were, as we like to say here on your nightly fix of Forbes. And what's really cool about Anna is she's one of 19 children, which is crazy insane. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Greg, you're not one of 19 children, right?
No, I'm one of 2 children, and that's twice as many as I would prefer, frankly.
Oh, that's interesting. That's like me, 1 of 2, exactly. And she's an expert on generations and the differences between them and how do we bridge the gap. Think of meetings, think of companies. And she really is the go-to person. There's no question about it. So she's got a busy schedule, and we're really excited that she's able to spend some time with us. Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Kate.
So since I set you up that way, I'm sure people always ask you this, and it's on your website, too. You have a photograph of your family, 19 children. So where are you in the lineup?
You know, I come in at the very end. I'm the youngest girl. I'm the 18th child.
Wow.
And you know what, Greg, if you need a couple extras, I'm happy to bring a couple of siblings because, you know, between my siblings, they also have 56 children. So I'm an auntie 56 times and their kids already have 48. So my family life really was a petri dish of the generation, kind of an ongoing dissertation my whole life just to survive the generational dynamics.
So I could not be more different in my family background. I have one brother. I hope he's listening, because if this is news to him, he hasn't been paying attention. But he's like having 18 siblings. He's a handful. He's a lot of handfuls. And neither of us have kids. So my life experience is exactly the opposite of yours, which is it's pretty staggering. I love the photo of you on your website in your mom's arms. There's little Anna and all her brothers and sisters. You're all very cute and charming. And look where you are today. You're talking to us.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's such a great example of generational dynamics in action, because in that picture is a GI generation dad, a traditionalist mom, many baby boomer brothers and sisters, and Gen Xer brothers and sisters. And now we add all the millennials in that are nieces and nephews, and then their kids are actually Gen Z, or what I call the global. So right there, you have the six generations colliding.
See, I think Apple created the panorama feature on the iPhone just for your family, because if you didn't have panorama, you couldn't get them all in.
It's so true. I remember one of the weddings we were at, the wedding photographer had scheduled like 45 minutes to take the family picture. And we're so used to getting everyone in and figuring it out and, you know, without even the panorama, that he turned around after, you know, getting the camera ready and boom, everybody was there. And he's like, I can get you all in one shot. And we're like, yeah, we know how to get close. We get all swoosh.
He was disappointed because that was less shots that he could sell you. If he had to capture you in 10 shots, it was 10 times the revenue. So I'm really interested on it. You do a lot of speaking, obviously, about generations in general, but also about millennials.
Yeah.
And everywhere I go, and I go to a lot of conferences for Forbes and for Forbes Books, everywhere I go, I hear people frustrated, upset, angry, clueless about how to work with millennials. I never hear millennials complaining about the older folks they work with. I hear older folks complaining about the millennials. What can we do about that?
Well, I have to say the millennials are complaining about the older folks. We're just not always listening. But let me tell you what we can do about that. Where my work over the last 20 years in generational research has brought me to is to understanding that each generation has a code. I call it their generational code. It's a little bit like an algorithm that's running in the background. And when you understand their generational code or the algorithm and the variables to it, it gives you a new perspective on how to address, to lead, to manage, to sell to work with the different generations. So let me give you a little example of what that code might sound like. What we know from knowledge studies is that about age 8, our brains start to make logic. If this, than that. And between the ages of 8 to 18, we're observing the world around us, the events, the leaders, the icons. And when there's an event and it's paired with an emotion, it creates an imprint. The higher the emotion, the deeper the imprint. So when we want to understand, why do the millennials do what they do? Why do they expect what they expect? Or let's be honest, demand what they demand, right? What is shaping that? What's driving that? My perfect example of this. My bonus mom is in her 90s right now, and I call her bonus because my mom passed away when I was very young, and my dad remarried her best friend who brought six children to us, the last six in the 19, and she grew up with some formative events of the Great Depression, World War II, and so a couple Christmases ago, we were making a lasagna for one of our family potlucks, because you can imagine, no one person can make enough food to feed all that, right? Everybody's got to pitch in a little bit, but we're making a lasagna for the potluck. And we cover it in tinfoil. We take it off to the dinner. At the end of the night, I was wiping down the now empty lasagna plate. And I looked over at my sweet bonus mom in her 90s. And what do you think she was doing with the tinfoil?
Cleaning it to reuse it.
She was. She was saving it. She was wiping it down, smoothing out the wrinkles, cleaning it for reuse. Because her formative events that shaped her algorithm or her generational code tell her that you need to conserve and keep everything. Now, today, she doesn't need to do that. She has plenty of resources, but she still has actions and reactions based off those formative experiences. So when it comes to our millennials, we need to understand what are their formative experiences that are shaping their choices. And once we understand that, all of a sudden they become a little less frustrating to us because we realize that they're not attempting to be demanding or what so many people love to say entitled, but they have been raised by baby boomers boomer parents and Gen Xers who said, do what you love and the money will follow. You need to go in there and you need to be strong. You need to ask for what you want, speak up, stand up. And so they do. They arrive in the workplace and they are very excited because they want to make a difference. They want to have an impact. But they also come in with positive self-esteem that their parents worked really hard to make sure they had it. And so when you think about it, our traditionalists came into the workplace and they thought of themselves as laborers. They'd come through the Great Depression, their parents had. They were just grateful to have a job. And so the loyalty of the two-way street in an organization was you work hard for the organization works hard, and they take care of you. Then come our baby boomers. And they had 80 million peers. So everything was a competition. So then they got on with the company. Loyalty was still two ways, but it was really about working up the corporate ladder, putting in 20 years so you could get ahead of your peers. So our baby boomers think of themselves as employees. They are moving up the ladder. They're working super hard, but they can't move because moving meant getting behind through their formative years. And so when you ask a baby boomer, what do? They say, I work for. So that employee generational DNA comes forward. Now, our Gen Xers came of age through the Great Recession of the 1980s, and so their baby boomer parents had bled company colors. They'd worked 80-hour work weeks like a badge of honor. They'd totally been dedicated. But in the middle of their formative years, in the recession of the 80s, they came home with a little slip of paper at the dinner table. What color was that pink? It was a pink slip, right? And so our Gen Xers became free agents in their mentality. They get on with the company, they work super hard, but they know if something cataclysmic happens, they need to be ready with their resume fresh, their bullet points hot, and they need to be ready to scoop up their skill set and move on. Our millennials come along, and loyalty as a two-way street, long gone. They have never seen that as part of their DNA. They don't expect to stay with the company that they're currently at for their whole career trajectory. They're going to be in the workplace till they're 80. So they consider themselves to be talent. You ask them, what do? And they tell you what they're passionate about, what their talents are, what their gifts are. Now, our Gen Xers, you ask them what they do, and they say, I'm in, and they give you the industry. So when we're looking at these different dynamics, we need to understand what shaped those formative years when they were identifying with the world and how the things work. Now, the Gen Zs, what I call the globals, come along, and they will be influencers because they already have followings on Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube, and they know that their real power is the channel that people follow them on. And people pay a lot of money to them as influencers to get to their audience, to get to their network, their hyper network. And so all of these different generational codes make sense to each person in that generation because that was their formative year of imprints.
Boy, that is crazy. What an amazing timeline you gave us of what we're seeing now in companies. We're almost up against it, but from the millennial point of view and from a corporation, if I run a corporation and I'm at the C-level, and we're going to continue this with you in another segment, but how do I initially keep millennials engaged and then the globals?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing is you said the right word. Engaged, because they come into the workplace ready to contribute. And that looks like collaboration from day one, week one. Collaboration not only on what am I going to do right now, but where do I go from here? So they want to say, listen, I can find other job opportunities by jumping online, jumping on LinkedIn, jumping on Career Builder. They can find all of these different job opportunities. Why don't you let me know where I can go from here inside the organization so that I can map out a career path within the organization? Don't just say, well, you've only been here for 6 weeks or 6 months or expect me to stay till 6 years before we have the conversation. Engage me by asking about what are my personal goals and then helping me map out how I can get there from here from the very beginning. Even in the interview, they would like to know, what is your ecosystem within the organization to help me develop my talent? Because I see myself as talent and I want to keep myself fresh, have learning experiences, and they're looking for those learning experiences inside your organization. One of the really great ways from the beginning is to have a mentoring program that's not just one way. It's not just down, but it's mentoring up as well. It's mentoring bring across, and having people be able to really be collaboratively engaged in designing their experience.
Love that. Hang on, Anna. We're going to do another segment with you. This is so fascinating, Greg. So thanks so much for being on your nightly fix of Forbes, and we're going to catch up with you again on another night.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
PDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the highest quality body armor, period. Why would you go anywhere else? Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Go to KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
Right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos, because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food, and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that could be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right, I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find that now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates. But when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it? Something like about half the eligible voter pool votes. So that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, a majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.